3, verses 14 through 21. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. And if you're physically able to stand, I would ask you to graciously do that. And you could follow along with me there in your Bible, or you can read it here on the screen, on the board. And let's think about what God is saying to us. Verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Our Father, we humbly bow before you now in your presence, and with your word open before our eyes and our hearts open before yours. And we say, Lord, meet us here in the Scriptures. Teach us, Lord, from the Scriptures. Speak, Lord. We, your people, are listening. We trust you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you. Thank you so much. We're continuing on with our subject from last week, and that is simply, He's able. He's able. If you remember from last week, as we looked at the earlier part of these verses, What Paul is saying here is that God desires every believer to be anchored in the love of Christ, okay? To have our firm stability in the love of Christ. Now, he then talks to us about the process, okay? That isn't just magic. What God desires, there's a means. He's got a means for it to take place, right? And so it begins with this right relationship with the Father. Okay? It has to be a right relationship. And you know how Jesus said it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but what? By me or through me, okay? So you've got to have a right relationship with the Father through Jesus Christ. We saw that in verses 14 and 15. We also then, once that right relationship with the Father is established, then you see a true relationship leads to true prayer. Some of the things that are called prayer today are just absolutely, I just can't think, it's awful. It's awful to think that people feel like you can approach God with some of these. First of all, the attitudes. But see, when you got a true relationship, when you really know God, then you know how to approach God. It affects your whole, right? And so that's the point with verse 14. And particularly when we're under pressure, that's the point. This relationship will lead you to pray when you're under pressure. And because we got stress and pressure. And so that's what the Philippians 4 says, right? Be anxious for what? Nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, you let your what? Requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. So see, that comes from a true relationship. I know I'm being tempted to worry here. I know that the stresses and the anxieties are right. So what do I need to do? You don't just grit your teeth and say, I can. No, no. God says, come to me. Uh-huh. I can handle that. Amen. Right? Yeah. So I need to go to my Father. Yeah. Yeah. Right? When I got a real relationship with him. I can't rehearse that anymore. So you remember that from last week. And then we saw that a believer is strengthened inwardly when Christ dwells fully in the heart. Now you remember, Christ is in every Christian. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about he settles down. When he's settled down in that, and he's really in control. He's in us, but Christ wants to dwell fully where he is controlling us. In other words, there are things in the house that need to be cleaned out.
Yeah. That's right.
So he can fill every room.
That's right.
Yes?
Right.
Once he's in every room, then he controls the house. Uh-huh. Now he's the Lord, but he's not going to force you to clean the house. It's just like your parents. You know, our parents told us and disciplined us. But it reaches the point to where your parents expect you to get it. Keep your room clean. Do the things that you're supposed to do, right? And so Christ is in us. He wants to dwell there fully. And so you and I need to do the necessary things. There are things that there are issues with our heart that we know need to be addressed. And you and I have got to do it. Right? We know that there's issues that need to be addressed. And so that heart needs to be clean so that the master does his, so he can do his work. And then finally, we saw in the latter part of verse 17 that it's only then when Christ is dwelling fully, dwelling in our hearts that we are anchored in the love of Christ. Once he's dwelling fully in there, and the, even though the stresses are outside, they are not making their way inside. Now you're anchored in the love of Christ, you see. You're not letting stress cause you to make bad decisions, you see. And you know how the process works. I'm not talking to strangers to this thing. I'm not preaching at you. I'm talking about issues that all of us have to work through. God says, I want every Christian. This is not special Christians here. Every Christian needs to be anchored in the love of God to carry you through the problems of life. We good?
Amen.
All right. So today, if you remember what I said last time, then is that we would look at, there it goes. What I said last time is that we would look at what I called being rooted and grounded in God's love. And so those principles are what we covered in verses 14 through 17, all right? And those are the ones that we looked at last week. My battery must be dying here. There we go. Those are the ones we looked at last week. Okay? And so we are anchored in the love of Christ through prayer and power from the Holy Spirit. This week, then, we're going to look at comprehending that love, right? It's one thing to be anchored in the love of Christ. But Christ wants us to know. He wants us to not just have intellect, but to know it, to experience it, right? And so I want to talk about that for a few minutes. This comprehending God's love begins with prayer, just as being anchored in God's love begins with prayer. And you and I cannot grow in Christ if you are going to have a flawed prayer life. Look at the life of Christ. We just finished the book of Luke. All over. This, you look at the humanity of Christ and he is praying. He's given to prayer. He's not making any assumptions about where to go and what to do. Right? And so it was so... It was so dominant in his life that the disciples said, Lord, if prayer is that important, teach what? Yes. Teach us to pray. Yes. So prayer then is essential. Prayer is the means of increasing a believer's comprehension and understanding of God's word and his will. Now, by the way, you go back to, you got your Bible there. Look at verse 18. may have strength to comprehend with all the saints. Comprehend. Comprehend is a really interesting word. You don't have to get confused by this, but the word phonetically is pronounced kata lambano. Kata lambano. And it is a, it means to process information, right? It means to actually grasp it, you know, not just to know about it, but you processed it in such a way that you got it. You remember, you know how that can be? Sometimes you're studying something and you can kind of be wiggling your way through it, but then all of a sudden you get it, right? And once you get it, then it's done. I can move on. That's what God says He wants for us. He wants you to get Christ's love. Get it in you. Get it deep to where you don't have to keep visiting this issue over. Remember when we were growing up, I know some of you young people probably don't know anything about that, but when you grow up poor and in the country, you find ways to get along. And they had these four-leaf clovers. You ever do that thing? You know, you ever do that? And what was it? He loves me, but does He not? Well, God doesn't want you having to trying to play that game. You don't need to be guessing whether or not He loves you. That needs to be what? Settled. And He wants you to get it so that you don't have to keep visiting that. That's the problem with the people that think that you can lose your salvation. And they're struggling with this whole, this needs to be settled. If it's everlasting love, how can it be broken? If it's everlasting life that He gives, how can it be broken? You see? But you won't know and appreciate everlasting life until you have appreciated everlasting love. Get it? And so, not only do I need to be rooted in it, I need to comprehend it. And it comes through prayer. You remember at the latter part of Ephesians 1, Paul was beginning to pray for the Ephesians. And once he saw what was happening with them, and he said he didn't cease to thank God for them, always mentioning them in his prayers, right? Praying that God would give them a what? Spirit of wisdom and of revelation, and that they might have the eyes of their heart, what? Enlightened, so that they might know what is the hope of God's calling you, right? And the glorious inheritance inside all of God and all the saints, and what is the what? Surpassing greatness of God's power toward those who believe. But Paul says, I know you won't get that unless I pray for you and God gives it to you. Do you pray that for other Christians? Or do you simply pray that they get their finances fixed? And you see? We spend a whole lot of time praying about things that's going to be left behind, rather than praying about what's going to help the soul. Right? And help people to live this life, whether they got the job they want or not. Have joy, whether they are healthy or sick. You see, we want people to be rooted and anchored in the love of God. Yes? And so we pray that that comprehension would come. And prayer means then, prayer is the means of increasing our comprehension of God's love. And this is a familiar word. This is agape. You have heard that word before. But most of us simply think of agape as being sacrificial love. But the word agape literally means to have a high regard for something or someone. Highly respected, right? This regard that causes you to humble yourself as you think of them, right? Now look at this. God wants us to be so immersed and comprehend the love of Christ that we've got this high regard for it. In other words, that's what I want. Just to know that Christ loved me. Look at what He did. Don't just memorize John 3:16. Get it. Get it deep in your soul. God loved not just everybody else. He loved me so much that He what? Gave His only Son for me. He was in glory.
He had everything. But he came. He gave. He laid it aside to come and pay for my sin. Now see, you can talk about everybody else's sin, but you don't know about mine. Even with what I've told you, you still don't know the whole story. But Jesus came to pay for all of it. And the debt's been what? Paid. Right? It's been paid. And so, what are you saying, Brother Willie? I need to have high regard for that kind of love. What kind of love is this? A friend, some might die for a friend. But you and I weren't friends. Right? Romans said that we were enemies. While we were still enemies and helpless, what? Christ died. That's the love. That's the love that we're talking about. While I was ungodly. Woo! Electing love pursued Willie in some ugly places. That electing love was there when I was sneaking around and hiding and things that you don't know about. But that electing love just kept on pursuing me. Yes? He loved me so much that he laid back and waited until I was 28 years old. But he never gave up on me. I got it. And I appreciate that. I love, or we love, or what? Because he first loved us. Right? You got to get that. Get it. Get that. That's the agape means to have a sincere appreciation, high regard, and interest in someone. That love is selfless. It's sacrificial and it's serving. That's what God did for me, right? Jesus said that he came to seek and save the Lord. The Son of Man came to serve. Now, if that's what love meant to him, it also should be what it means to me. Yes? Sacrifice, serve. But if I don't get it, if I don't get the way God loves me, then I won't be able to love others. Get it? That's when I need to get it. I don't want to just be rooted in it. I want to get it so it can help me live. Yeah, right? So prayer is the means. And then lastly, we need power, right? We need power. So you remember what we saw last time? When Christ is fully dwelling in our heart, when he has... When he has settled down inside us, then the Holy Spirit enables a believer to comprehend the fullness of God's love. You look at verse 18 again. That you may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth. Now, I want you might have missed this, but there's a key word there. You're looking at the beginning of verse 18. He said, you may have strength. That word means enablement, a power. It comes from God. Okay? He's praying that God would give you the enablement to comprehend. The Holy Spirit brings that enablement when I'm no longer fighting. When Christ is really ruling, then I can really hear from God and appreciate his love. Okay? But if you're stressing out over your bills and over this thing, and we all got them. But you've got to be able to find that place of rest and peace in the midst of trouble. Look at Christ. You think you got trouble? Look at his life. And yet the Bible says he would steal away. Right? He even had to get away from his own closest friends. You got to find a way to get along with God if you're going to get this. Yeah? The Holy Spirit will give you, He'll enable you to get it. Listening to me is not going to help you get it. Talking to other folks is not going to. The Holy Spirit is the only one that will help you get this. You can want it as you can sit here and talk about how much you want it. But you got to, if you allow me, you got to get to where you can get it. You got to get in a place where you can get this. Okay? And so you got to make sure that nothing is competing. Nothing is competing. We love to sing, "I surrender all." But that needs to happen. If you're going to get this. We good?
Yeah.
Comprehending the fullness of God's love is available to all. There's no super saints he's talking about here. Every Christian in this room, this is to be for you. You say, "Well, where do you get that?" Look at the verse. You got verse 18? May have strength to comprehend what? With all the saints. This is for every believer. God wants every believer to comprehend the fullness of His love. Not special, people have special offices in the church and all that. No. This is for everybody. Everybody. God doesn't have special children. He shows no what? Partiality. No favoritism. Isn't that good?
Amen.
He wants it as much for you as He does for me and anybody else. Yes? Amen. Then you notice that God wants every believer. Now this, you got to get this now. Get this now. God wants every believer to know by experience how much Christ loves each one. Now, you look at verse 19. Verse 19 is going to sound like a syllogism somewhere. It's going to sound really confusing. But you got verse 19?
Yeah.
And to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge. What? To know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge? That sounds like gobbledygook. No. God doesn't speak gobbledygook. You see? So who said this? All the children said this. If you don't know, you need to what? Ask. Ask God, what are you saying here, right? And so the word, you see, you got verse 19? You see the word know? Gnosko? It means to know by experience. What are you saying, Brother Willie? You're going to have to go through something to know what I'm talking about. Me talking to you about this ain't going to get it for you. You say, well, I'm ready, man. I want to have some of them wonderful experiences with God. You're thinking about the wrong thing. Uh-huh. Knowing the love of God ain't taking you necessarily to the mountain.
Amen.
Paul said, I've learned to be content. What?
Yeah.
When I've had plenty and what?
Yeah.
And very little. This is what I'll try to do for every Christian to bring some realism. The Bible describes the life of a believer as a roller coaster. If you own it, you can't think that it's just going to stop. I'm going to get to one place. Now, you know, it's like riding a roller coaster. You get up on the top. You say, we're going to stay here. No. And the roller coasters don't stay there. You remember that's what happened with the disciples, right? They went with Christ to the mountain. There he was transfigured. What did Peter say? Oh, Lord, this is a wonderful. Let's build some tents. Let's just stay right here. Jesus said, no, are you, that's not the purpose.
Yeah.
I didn't show you this just for you to camp out. Now let's go what? Let's go back down. And what did they meet down back after the mountain? Mm. Demon possessed.
Yes.
Let's go back down where it's real life going on. Now, listen to me. When I'm talking about life experiences, that's what I'm talking about. You got to be ready to go through, run the race that God has set before you.
Yes, sir.
Anybody in here that's ever been an athlete knows that there's some pain. If you're going to be good, no, you know what I mean. If you're going to do your best, let me put it that way. There's pain associated with becoming an effective athlete. The Bible calls us what? Athletes. Doesn't it? And none of that, he says, run your race. Paul says, I what? Fought a good fight. I what? Finished my course. And I kept the faith. My brother, my sister, when I'm talking about knowing by experience, you got to get ready to fight. Amen. And run. You're a soldier, right? Right? I mean, the Bible calls us sheep, which means that you don't know a whole lot. You think you do. But sheep have to follow what? The shepherd. And sheep are very prone to what?
Wonder.
Right? And so the shepherd has to take out his, you got this thing. And so experience. Get ready for experiences that aren't necessarily pleasant. But you're always in God's classroom. He's a good teacher. School is never out.
Amen.
Your children wait on recess and breaks and summer break. Surprise for y'all. As a Christian, you don't get. There's no time out. Now God gives you some respite, but it's not a time. You even need to be learning when you're getting a little respite with the Lord, right?
Amen.
Learn to appreciate that. You're getting it. So once God wants us to know by experience how much He loves each one, and here's the point. You remember what I said there? To know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, what does that mean? It's going to take you your whole life. That's why he says surpasses knowledge. Don't think you're just going to get it and you got it. The more you know, the more you realize you don't know.
Amen.
The more you get to know about God, the more you realize that there is to know. All right? Well, there's no way the finite can know the infinite fully. But God wants us to pursue it with all our hearts. And he wants you to know you need to spend your whole life getting to comprehend the love of God. There's more. The more you learn, you see, I want to know more. I want to know more, right? That's what he wants. Don't stop. Don't think you've arrived. You just keep on going. Keep on. The more you know about it, the more he's going to draw you in. The more he draws you in, the more you're going to be drawn in. Okay? God's love is like that. We good? Take a lifetime. God wants us to understand Christ's love through the storms of life. He wants us to understand the love of Christ through the trials and the troubles of life. And he wants us to understand that he never leaves us. You see? That's the reason I say by experience. When you've been through some things and you recognize God was with me, even when it didn't feel like he was with me. Even when I prayed and it didn't feel like he was listening to me. Along the way, God came in and encouraged me to show me that he loved me. Okay? That's what I'm talking about. And so God wants us to know that. He wants us to know that Christ will never leave us, right? He'll never forsake us. He doesn't condemn us, right? He wants us to know that Christ is the one that forgives and delivers and protects and provides for us. Why? Because he loves us. He's the one that defends us and encourages us and teaches and reproves and corrects us. Matter of fact, God wants every believer to be filled with him. You see the end of verse 19? To know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. He wants us to be filled with him, with his person, filled with his presence, filled with his power, so that we are being controlled. Our thoughts are being controlled by the love of God. Our words are being controlled by the love of God. Our actions are being controlled by the love of God. You remember what Paul said, the love of God, what restrains me. The love of God is what compels me. Sometimes the love of God is, I should know that when God tells me to do something, I do it because I love him, not because I feel like doing it. God says, Willie, Forgive so-and-so. I don't say, well, Lord, they hadn't suffered long enough. Will they forgive? Why? Because I love you and I forgave you. Or, you know, you can just pick anything he's calling us to do. I do it because, you see, when you know the love of God like that, it is what continues to move you along in life. You can find joy in all of life because God's love does not change.
Amen.
Do you believe that? You can't make him love you anymore.
Amen.
And you cannot make him love you any less. Isn't this good? God's love is perfect.
Uh-huh.
Woo! Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah.
When he says he loves you, it is perfect. And there are times that that's what carries you through. People all around you don't understand. But when you know God loves you, you can go on. Yes? That's the reason he wants us to comprehend it. Okay. So God can enable every believer to know the fullness of his love through experience. You've been very patient. And so by way of conclusion, I just want you to think about these few things. Every brother and every sister here, listen to me. We do not need all the problems in our lives fixed in order for us to know the love of God.
Amen.
I hope you're convinced of that. See, if you're waiting for everything to get fixed, then you're missing it. God wants you to know it in the experiences of life, right? We don't need more money to know the love of God. This theology that's going around is ruining people's perspective of the true God. Making you think you got to have more stuff and more money. Oh, no. You can't improve upon God's love. He's loved you perfectly. Whether you live in a mansion or on the street. This American theology is ruining Christians. The majority of Christians, the statistic that a number of years ago showed that the majority of Christians live in huts. Now, you think that God doesn't love them? Think of the Christians that are dying every day because they won't recant. Muslims are killing them all around the world. Does God love them any less? Come on, American Christians. We've got to get free to realize that the love of God doesn't depend upon all these things. Now, I thank God for income, and play, don't you? For transportation. We're not ungrateful to that at all. But the love of God is not contingent upon
Amen.
That.
Amen.
And when I know that, I'm free.
Amen.
Because Job said what? The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. But see, Job knew God loved him. So he said what? Blessed be the name of the Lord. Yes? In fact, the storms, listen to me. The storms of life, the trials of life, and the troubles of life actually assist us in knowing how immensely God loves us. Follow me now. We see how deep into problems God's love goes with us. When God's love goes with you deep into your financial problems, God's love goes with you deep into your family problems. When the bottom has dropped out. God's love goes with you into all of your severe health problems and employment problems. He never leaves you or forsakes you because your financial plans didn't work out. He didn't forsake you because you found you got a bad diagnosis from the doctor. He didn't forsake you because your family is falling apart. He didn't forsake you. When others gave up on us, Christ didn't. When others gave us no hope, Christ gave us the certainty of hope with him. Christ set us free from worry, free from doubts, free from fears when we fix our minds on him through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Yes, he grants us then that peace of God. God wants everyone to be anchored in the love of Christ and to know the fullness of his love so that we can face any experience in life and count it all joy. You see, you've been a hypocrite to try to count circumstances joy if you don't know the love of God.
Amen.
God's love is what brings the joy.
Yeah.
Because in any experience of life, we are what? More than conquerors through him who what? Loved us. That's how we conquer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing can separate us what? From the love of God.
Yeah,
nothing. That's the reason Paul gives that whole list there in Romans 8.
Yeah.
Nothing. Death, life, powers, principalities, angels, nothing. Things present, things to come. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Lord has loved us with an everlasting love. He loves you right now. You believe that?
Amen.
He loves you right now. And I want you to receive this. I want every Christian to receive this. You don't have to turn. I just want you to listen. You can look it up later. Romans 5, first paragraph. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Look at this. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and that endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. You got to go through your experience. Stop trying to shortcut it. The love of God will be revealed to you as you go through it. We good?
Yeah.
That's the reason James says count it what? Joy. Because God's doing something here.
Amen.
He said he's causing what? All things. What? Do you believe that? Because he loves us. And if you're not a Christian, you can know God's love today, too. Jesus came to die for you. But you got to receive him. He won't make you love him. But he offers that to you. And so I invite you today, stop resisting his love. Ask him to save you, to forgive your sins. And he'll do it right now. Open your heart to the love of God, and he'll save you right now. Father, we thank you for these few minutes that we spent together. And, Lord, I pray that your will might be done here among your people. Make your presence known in your own way. Would you take these feeble words of mine and use them for your glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's bow together for just a few minutes, and then we'll see if there are any comments before we dismiss.